Today, we have a few hosts and a few kingdom builders who are joining us too. So let's start with intros. Go first, leaders.
Hi, I'm Kim, coming Hello. At you from Kansas.
I'm Jason, coming at you from Kansas also.
And I'm Christine from Kansas.
I'm Liesl from the UK.
Nice.
I'm Amanda Smith from San Antonio.
And Riki, would you like to tell us where you're coming from?
I'm from Singapore, living from heaven station in Singapore for now.
That's right.
I didn't know I was supposed to intro myself because you were talking about hosts. So, yeah.
Sorry. Yes. Thank you for introducing yourself. Well, so today, just like we have been doing in the recent past, we're going to do some Q&A kind of stuff. So when we have any questions that are asked, anyone is welcome to give their perspective. Okay. So if you're joining us, just so you know, all of our kingdom builders are welcome to join us on. We have a kingdom builders, I would say group, I don't know what you call it, but we all partner together in really trying to live from heaven, building the kingdom on the earth. And so we love to walk hand in hand, shoulder to shoulder, and really grow in our relationship together. And part of that is digging into some issues that we may have come up, or just fellowshipping and having a good time talking about what's going on in the Lord. Okay, well, how about I get us started from some questions that have been submitted in the past. Okay. And this is stuff that we haven't been able to dive into yet. One of them that I wanted to talk about, I think, is we have a little bit dived into this. Diven into this. Okay, so it says, what is Yeshua's idea on organized religion? And I think we've given a brief answer to this in the past, but I would like to talk more in depth about it. Mainly because I had a pretty fun conversation with Liesl earlier today. Hopefully I don't get as salty. We'll have to join a different podcast, right, Jason? He nods. No one can hear you when you nod. Did you know that?
Sorry. we're on Zoom. I'm forgetting.
You know, earlier, I'll just say, give a little context. So earlier, Liesl and I got off on talking about the church and what it's been like for me to go back and attend church services. Okay, so right now, I don't attend church services. Now, sometimes we have fellowship gatherings and stuff in our ministry. Doesn't look the same as a church service, for sure. But I've been back to some church services in the city here. And even though they are absolutely wonderful people, I have been frustrated through the whole thing. And it's really because I've gone to kind of a different place in my walk than I used to be. I used to be perfectly content in that situation. But I've gone to kind of a different place in my walk where I definitely appreciate the fellowship of believers. But I don't appreciate religion. And so it's interesting, this person said organized religion, because my opinion about what Yeshua, because the original question was, what is Yeshua's idea of this? I kind of believe it's not the same as what is being practiced today. I don't think it's the same much at all. But I also don't believe that there's one prescribed way. And so I think there are lots of times when I'm called to do one thing that is organizing people to be together in talking about the Lord or worshiping or whatever it might be, right? Kind of like this. This would be what other people might consider a form of organized religion. I don't think it has anything to do with religion. I think it's tossing religion out the window, actually. But we are definitely organized as believers coming together to grow together in the faith, right? So anyway, anybody have any ideas on this? I could go on for hours, but I don't want to. Go ahead.
So, Chris, even in the mystic, could one call it the mystic movement that we are in? Can one also be religious here? And what I'm thinking of is that even though you think one thinks that you have moved on from the church service scenario that you were talking about, if you participate in this, but you think you've now arrived, but your focus is not intimacy with the Lord and with the Father, then you are just practicing religion again.
For sure.
100%.
I fall into this trap all the time. Okay, I'm just going to be transparent. This has happened to me pretty recently where, and this happens to me all the time, which is probably arrogance. When I think I don't have anything to do with religion anymore, and I'm like, I don't have God in a box, you know, all of this. As soon as I think that that's where I'm at, the Father goes and like demolishes the box that I have him in. And I'm like, oh, there was a box. What happened to my life? Because what we do is we end up putting him in this box of our ideas, whatever our idea is of him, or what he believes, or what he expects of us, or whatever. This happens all the time, and it's happened to me recently. And I realized, I mean, he had to show me. I just grabbed hold of this religion, this religious idea about marriage and about divorce. These are things that I grabbed hold to without even realizing it. And I think most of us, what we do with religion is we have no idea we're actually doing it. We don't actually want to hold on to religion. We want relationship only, but we end up doing it by accident all the time. And this for sure happened to me when I wait, no, I do trust you more, Lord, than my ideas of you. And that is what I think is the hardest struggle is, even like you said, we're in this other movement, if you will. I don't know. I don't even like to call it a movement. I don't know what it is, but it's different. And a lot of people in this stream, just like every stream, thinks they've got it right. Right? I mean, it's our human tendency to think that we know it all. And to think that, well, because I graduated from this, then I'm better and that I know more, or that I function better, or whatever. And again, it's just becomes arrogance. At least that's my experience.
I have a couple things to add, or maybe just rant about. Not really rant. I want to have coherent thought process on this, but you know, I always wonder when people say, you know, organized religion, well, what do you mean? Are we talking about the church service? Are we just talking about a group of people who hold a certain set of beliefs in general within Christianity? Because if you think about Judaism, Judaism was an organized religion. And so what did Jesus think about it? Well, he showed up and he was like, a lot of you guys have it wrong. Like you've been focusing on the wrong things. You've got the wise and the learned, you know, the rabbis and the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the teachers of the law and the scribes, you've got all these people who've said, we've got it figured out. We know the law. We know what's right. Essentially saying we know God. And Jesus is like, you're a whitewashed tomb. Like you're dead on the inside. You've got all this knowledge. You know, Paul talks about knowledge just puffing people up. And I realized that that's where I was one day, is I was just puffed up with knowledge. I could stand on a stage and I could bring a message, or I could open the scriptures and I could teach the scriptures. We had a podcast that we would do every other week, and we would have these in-depth conversations and get real passionate and say a bunch of things that were mic drop moments. And, you know, people would email us and say, oh, you said this and you said that. And it was so awesome. And in the end, I would look at myself in the mirror and I would have to ask myself the question, am I loving my wife? Am I loving my family? Am I patient? Am I kind? Am I faithful? Am I long-suffering? Am I all these things? And the answer to those questions most often was not all the time, not really, or not at all. And so what does he think about religion? I think he's okay with this meeting and gathering and studying and doing all these things. But if we don't have love, we're nothing. You know, he shows up and he says, you guys are religious. And you've got this teacher of the law who's walking down the road and looks over and sees somebody on the ground who's been robbed, and they walk right past them. It's like, what's that about? Where's the action? And so that's my question when it comes to anything. Where's the love? You know, somebody tell me, where's the love? There's that song. But, you know, are they loving? You can have the truth, but you can give the truth in a very hateful, spiteful, condescending kind of way without love, and you've just failed at giving the truth. Jesus came full of truth and grace. It was a beautiful mix of both. And so I think you could look at anything, and the way Jesus did, I took a note in Revelation, hear what the Spirit says to the churches. The Spirit is making known what it thinks about the organized religion and the gatherings and the churches and the communities and the groups of people who are studying and living and doing all these things, getting together and worshiping and all that stuff. You know, the Spirit is speaking to the churches. He just says, hear what the Spirit's saying. A lot of people don't slow down long enough to actually hear what the Spirit's saying about what they're doing in their organized gathering. And so Jesus addresses that stuff and he says, you're doing this good, or this is good, this is okay. I don't like this. Repent, come to me, correct it, you know, buy for me, you know, robes and salve and all these things. And he gives an invitation to come back to himself. I stand at the door and I'm knocking. If anyone let me come in, I'd come and I'd dine with me, saying like, hey, I'm here. I want to tell you what I think about what's going on. Would you invite me in? And would you sit down and have a meal with me? That scripture is not about sinners having Jesus knock at the door of their heart. It's Jesus saying, hey, I'm here at your church and I want to tell you what's up. Are you either going to listen or are you just going to ignore me and keep doing what you're doing because you think it's good? I actually have something to say about this. I came to Judaism and I said, hey, Israel, here's the deal. And then he came to the Christian church post-resurrection, post-ascension, and said, hey, here's the deal. And so I think that in this day and age, we could actually stop and say, hey, what's the deal? You know?
Yeah.
Okay, that's it.
I think there's some real importance in that, because I don't think it's a one size fits all. The only thing that I know of in scripture that Jesus or Yeshua said to be religious about is he said the only true religion is caring for the widows and the orphans. And if we look at it through that lens, excuse me, I have stuff in my throat. It's like, this is the only obligation he's giving to the church. And that's really what religion does. This is what those boxes are that you build around your faith or the way you walk or the way you practice, whatever. It's these obligatory things, right? So if we look at it through that lens, the only thing we're really obligated to do is he says, care for these who are without. And I would also propose that it is to continue in relationship with him, because just like you said, knowledge puffs up, right? But I'm going to go back to the trees. I always go to the trees. The tree of knowledge will puff people up, whether it is on the side of this is what's good or this is what's evil, right? And it divides. What it says is, I do this and you do that. This is good and that is bad. I'm close to you. I'm not close to you, right? But if you go to the other tree, it's the tree of life. And truly what that is fully submitting and living with him. And just as in marriage or in a parent-child relationship or in a friendship or whatever, any kind of relationship, it changes from day to day. And so as you live with him, you will know what you are to do each day. And if he tells you, do this for 90 days straight, it's not religion, it's living with him, because it's still out of relationship. But if you go to him and he says, do this for 90 days, and you do it for the next 3 years without ever going and checking back in, that's religion. You know what I mean? It's this obligation. So obedience is not necessarily obligation, but when you take obedience and turn it into obligation, then it becomes religion.
Ooh,
preach. Does that kind of make sense?
Yes. I feel like that's so good.
There's one more part to that scripture, Kim, too, where it says, care for the widow and the orphan in their distress and to keep oneself unstained from the world or unstained by the corruption of the world. And so it's that part of it supports what you said, like, and staying in relationship with him. Yeah. And in order to keep ourselves unstained, we have to be in him and in relationship with him. And he'll lead us and guide us in how to care for the widow and the orphan in their distress and to keep ourselves unstained. And so if he gives you, I've heard somebody say, it's not okay to be legalistic with others, but it's okay to be legalistic with yourself. And I would say, granted, the Lord gives you that legalism, that thing to follow. If he says, you don't, Kim, you know this life, you don't eat mushrooms and blue cheese. You're like, okay, I won't eat mushrooms and blue cheese. That doesn't mean that you have to put that on everybody, but you can put it on yourself and you can absolutely be legalistic about it in the sense that I'm going to be very religiously dutiful in keeping with this, because this is how I'm keeping myself unstained, because this is what he's told me to do.
I kind of disagree. I have to disagree because I've done it. And I've been,
well, you did it wrong.
I did it wrong.
Wrong tree,
did
it wrong.
Jason. Yeah. But this was something I did actually. Do you remember, well, not all of you were a part of this or know what I'm talking about. So there was this thing we did with a consistency challenge, and we all kind of put a bet in. Basically, we bet on ourselves to be able to finish the consistency challenge and all of this sort of thing. And I asked the Lord what I should do for the consistency challenge. And so I did exactly that. And it had to do with intermittent fasting. And I don't remember what else, but anyway, at least that is what I remember. And I did it very consistently, like, because he told me to, I wanted to be super consistent about it. And then we went on this mission, this Gulf Coast mission. And while we were there, there was this point where I could not do my intermittent fasting because of being hosted by someone. And you know how when you're hosted by someone, you give grace for whatever you're doing and eat whatever they give you, you know, you would never reject someone's hospitality. And so I knew that, and I knew I couldn't reject their hospitality because they were going way out of their way for us and all of that. And I was a mess about it because I felt like I had both things that I was supposed to do. And I was just pretty upset about ruining the consistency challenge, losing the bet on myself, you know, all of this. And I was in the bathroom looking in the mirror, and I just heard the Father say, "You traded it for more religion again." And I was like, oh, because he is not one who says you have to do this no matter what. He gives grace in every area. And so we can't always be as hard on ourselves and be as disciplined on ourselves when he tells us to do something. We need to also have grace on ourselves for these things too. That's the only way I disagree with you in that, Jason. I mean, because you're right, but I think there's a time when we can't be so religious in even things like that, you know, even in what we eat and what we drink and whatever, you know. No comments. I don't know. That's just my personal experience and realizing I got roped back in.
I think it's good. And well, everything you're saying, both of you, because there is a bit of a difference, right? So go back to the obligation versus obedience. There is a bit of a difference there. And that's kind of a line that you need to be able to forge and figure out with the Lord. It's not going to be from my experience and it's not going to be from Liesl's experience. You're going to have to figure it out for yourself based on the relationship and what you have with him. This is why I think this question, we go back to the original question, what is Yeshua's ideas and thoughts on organized religion? I think the organized religion part is where you really kind of get, you get stuck into things, right? So he did define these certain things of religion, but there's so many things that come out of relationship with the Lord that are prescribed personally for you, right? Mm-hmm. So it could be like Jason brought up this instance. It was years ago. But in a time of engaging with the Lord, he told me to not eat blue cheese and mushrooms anymore, which were two things that I really loved. And I was like, no way, that's way too specific. He would never tell me that. You know what I mean? I must be making this up. And so maybe another week or two went by and I wound up having some of both. And then my mouth swelled up and my throat swelled up. And I was like, oh my gosh, what's going on? And I went to the Lord and he's like, I told you not to eat those things. Right. So that is something that would have been done out of obedience, not out of obligation. And it was for my betterment, right. But that's not something that would be prescribed for everyone. So organized religion says, here's the thing that you're supposed to do. Now everyone do it. Do I think that he will never give a blanket commandment to his people? I don't think that that's impossible. I just think typically most of what he tells us to do are fairly specific for us personally or a small group. And again, even in a small group, each individual needs to go and have that come out of relationship, because when it comes from someone else, that also kind of becomes religion, because it's an obligation to follow this word that you got from someone who got it from the Lord. Just like in the scripture, it says, don't despise prophecy, but confirm it. I think what's the word? Mm-hmm. Confirm everything, right? That means confirming with the Lord. If someone on the earth gives you a prophecy, go take it back to the Lord and he will confirm or deny it or give more clarity to it. You know what I mean? But I think that's kind of the risk we run with organized religion, is I may get a word that's very specific for me, and it may even impact globally, but that doesn't mean that it is for every member of the body, right? And so I can share it. If he tells me to share it, you absolutely share it, but then it's everyone else's responsibility as well to go find out, is this obedience for them, or is this something that is being brought on by obligation? Do you know what I mean? You can weigh it and you can figure out what is religion and what is actually obedience.
Mm. Yeah, that's good. Go ahead, Liesl.
I think maybe a good example of this is taking communion in church. And I think for my experience over all the decades that I have been going to a church is that I didn't really get much out of it. You do it together and, you know, you try and get the right moment of popping it in your mouth and, you know, there isn't much experience. But then in the last 2 years, I felt that the Lord had directed me to take communion every day. And then some days there is I'm tired, or this doesn't work out, or I haven't got my things together. And then I want to fall into religion with, like, I have to do that. But then I remind myself that not to do that. But if you then, and that's where the obedience comes in, but I feel like it's a heart relationship where you're following his guidance. And the revelation that I have gotten through doing the communion and how he's taken me through seasons of revelation, where I'm meditating on different things and he's highlighting different things to me. But I think the tendency is for all of us to make a religion out of that. You know, everybody has to every day do communion, just like we do once a month in the church. And that is where the power gets lost. Because while it's still a heart relationship thing, that's where the power is.
Yes. Love it.
It's really good. I think that, I don't know why we keep falling into this. I mean, we keep falling into building our own religions over everything, but we do it all the dang time. And we think we all have to believe the same. You know, I was thinking about this with Kim and Jason. Okay. They're family to me, if you guys don't know. And so I know their walks and theology pretty well. I do not line up with either of them perfectly. I don't. And but that doesn't mean that we have to quit fellowshipping or that we have to quit walking it together. It doesn't mean that at all. And one of the things I really, really have admired about Judaism is that they encourage everyone to work out their beliefs. And it isn't like, oh, you don't believe the same on this one doctrine, then you're kicked out of the kingdom, which is what basically most of Christianity does. Right? I mean,
yes.
Again, it's happened to us way too much. And so anyway, I love that. And I think that that's actually what the Lord wants for us, is to have very individual walks, to where we walk with him, we learn with him, we grow with him, we question with him, we all of these things. And mm-hmm. we should encourage one another to do that. And the more we lean on each other, okay, here's what I think is positive: to lean on each other to work through these things together. I don't think it's positive to lean on each other to get our answers from God. And that is what most people end up doing, is they go, well, so you do this every day. How do I do this every day too? And what should I do when you do this? What do you pray? You know, how many times, this is what I get all the time. I get these questions constantly from people because they're trying to walk my walk. And we can't walk each other's walk. We have to walk our own walk with the Lord. Mm-hmm. And we walk side by side, not like I can't get into your shoes and walk with you. Like, it doesn't work like that. And so we have to do it together, but not as the same beings. We mm-hmm. can have unity without being the same. Just because we're different doesn't mean we have to be divided. And that is what I love about Judaism instead of Christianity. By the way, that doesn't mean, like, I still love Yeshua. When I talk about Judaism, he was a Jew. And he walked in a way that was close to the Father, completely different than everybody else. That's what I want to do too. Mm-hmm. I want to walk close to the Father, completely unlike anybody else, and to be so overwhelmingly loving that that's what people remember about me, just like they remember by him.
Yes. Yeah. Yes, yes, yes. I love that. There's a concept in the Hebrew culture. I can't pronounce it. But I love what you're talking about, kind of really spurring one another on, talking through the things that you disagree about. And this is a very Hebrew concept. I have a voice recording of what it's called. Could you hear it?
Machlochet.
Let's try again.
L'shem Shamayim.
L'shem Shamayim. Okay, so this is this kind of debate that the Jewish people will do with one another. They will debate their theology and their beliefs, but never, never is it something that divides. It is always to propose new ideas and work through them on your own, but with someone else as a sounding board. And so what happens is, even if people disagree, they decide they disagree, and then they go back to the Lord and they mull through it. They chew on it with him, and he confirms or denies it. As opposed to what we see so often, I would say, in the social media culture especially, is this: I believe this, you believe that, you're wrong, I'm right, we'll divide, right? And it happens among believers too, when the gospel is not changed. So that tells me that's religion, because it is, this is the way I practice, that's the way you practice, we can't be joined together for that. But nothing about the gospel's changed. There is nothing in scripture, there is nothing in the way that Yeshua walked that showed that that is how we were supposed to be operating. We're supposed to be operating out of love. And as someone who's loving, you should be able to hear someone else out and still love them, still be connected with them and appreciate them for how they're walking, where their relationship is, appreciate that they're actually trying to mull through some of this stuff. They have the wherewithal to actually put thought into things. You know what I mean? And so I think this is one of those concepts. I can't say it. I can play the recording over and over again. This word, or this concept that is so very Hebrew, that is so important. When you have people around you that you can really trust and talk through that stuff without it being divisive. You know, because sometimes the Lord tells you really wacky things. You know? I mean, he told Abraham to go kill Isaac. Who do you think he had to talk to about that? You know what I mean? And had he done it, how many people would have been like, oh, that's not God? You know what I mean? Truth. And then you make the decision. You go back to him and you say, is this really you? Is it really your voice I'm hearing? Yes, it is. I will move forward. Right?
Yeah. That's good. Well, you guys, we have already gone past our allotted time, which is what we tend to do because we're talkers, but we will have a bonus part for all of the kingdom builders. And if you're like, wait a second, how do I become a kingdom builder? Then go to patreon.com/kingdombuilders. You can join at any level and be able to have access to the bonus content for the podcast. So for instance, Riki just asked a great question. We're going to be talking about this on our bonus part. So Riki said, in receiving gifts from my ancestors, does that mean they have received Yeshua after death and are in the cloud of witnesses? What kind of help do we have in the kingdom of light spiritually? Father, Yeshua, Holy Spirit, seven spirits of God, heavenly creatures, angels, etc. Good questions. We will dive into that. So look for that on the bonus content. Okay. Awesome. We love you guys.
Thanks for joining, everybody.
Have a great week. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Oh.
I was starting to kick people out.
Me too.
Someone who does Courts of Heaven taught that homosexuality and premarital sex are not what the church teaches. What?
What does that mean?
I have no idea.
Probably that it's fine. I don't want to deal with that question. We didn't say
let's be Hebrew.
What'd you say?
So let's be Hebrew.
Let's be Hebrew.
Do you want me to start the bonus?
A lot of stuff that the church puts on people and says is sin that is never laid out.
Like living with a partner before you get married. That's not.
I don't know where that is in scripture.
That's not a sin.
What about masturbation? Super sin.
It's not in there.
It's not in there.
Mm-hmm. There's a lot like this.
There's a lot.
It's because we like to make up our own religions.
It's true.
Mm-hmm. It's true. What are you doing, Chris?
I'm responding to.
Oh, Jesus. I'm tired.
Yeah. I'm sorry I talked so much on that one. I just do this sometimes.
Could you quiz?
Totally me? Fine.
Why do you say that all the time?
Then it makes. Because I feel like I just take over, and then I don't need to be like the voice that's heard. You know what I mean?
You're making me want to vomit.
Why?
Just be normal. It's fine. You're doing a great job. Normal. You always do a great job. You're never over talking. If anyone over talks, I do. Everyone knows that. And you know what? I don't even care. If I feel like it's something that the Lord says to say, that's what I'm going to do. And I don't care if I talk more than other people. And so you need to feel the same way. Jason.
What's your walk? It's not my walk.
Exactly.
Do you see this red dot on my nose?
I do. I see it.
Why don't you put some concealer on, baby?
I don't own concealer. You would think that it's a pimple, but it's nothing is raised. And I even see. In the mirror, you can hardly see it. It's just for some reason on camera. It's
the bright. Lighting. Mm-hmm.
Can't see it now.
But we do see the circles in your eyes.
Look at how my lens magnifies the light on one side, not on the other.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, goodness.
I think maybe it just makes it look smaller on the other one. I don't think the other one's magnified because your eye looks smaller on the other one, too.
Yeah.
Okay, well, shall we start this next one?
Yeah.
Sure. How long are we going?
30 minutes or less.
Okay.
I like the less part, but we'll
see. I like the less part.
I don't quite understand this question.
Which one?
The first one.
Reiki's.
Let me explain it, okay? Because I do. It has to do with our engaging time last week. It happened to be what I saw. So...
I'll start.
Yeah, thank you. That's what I was hoping.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the bonus episode, patron-only episode of the Kingdom Builders podcast. And so today we are continuing in the vein of Q&A. We had some questions towards the end of our last podcast recording that we're going to go ahead and address. And so I'll read those questions, and I think Christine's going to jump off and talk a little bit about the first one. So here are the questions. In receiving gifts from my ancestors, does that mean that they have received Yeshua after death and are in the cloud of witnesses? What kind of help do we have in the kingdom of light spiritually? Father, Yeshua, Holy Spirit, seven spirits of God, heavenly creatures, angels, etc. So two questions, and we'll go one at a time.
Okay, so the reason I wanted to start with the first one myself is because I know that this particular question comes from a time of engaging heaven that we had, what, 2 weeks ago? 2 weeks ago in our Kingdom Builders group. And it also happened to be something that I saw in the spirit. And so because of that, I know what she's talking about. So what happened in this engaging time was... I saw that this person started having several of her ancestors bringing her gifts. Now, that doesn't mean like passing down what we would normally call spiritual gifts, okay? But technically it wasn't the spirit, so you could say that. But it could have been like a sword or a book, or I don't know what it was actually. But they were gifts that were being given to her in this heavenly experience. She was quite confused about that because her family, they're not Christians or haven't been Christians before. She as far as I know, I think she's the first in her family line. And she came from a background of more new agey kind of stuff. She's from the Far East. And so it's a little more common there than it is here in our Western world to have a lot of family not be Christians. On the other hand, Kim and I come from that same kind of line, even though we're from the West. And so I have seen the same sort of thing happen in my family in the heavenly realms. And I have had family that I have seen there that, as far as I knew, they weren't Christians. Okay. And so that being said, there are a couple things that could happen. It could be because, one, we are not functioning on the same timeline. Okay. So in the heavenly realms, it's outside of the time that we know, right? And so we could be seeing way in the future, or way in the past, or whatever, when we're engaging in heaven. Here, we know this linear kind of thing, and we know one thing happens or doesn't happen at a certain time. So for you, I'm answering your question. This is something that you need to really be asking. If you have these questions about, have they received Yeshua after death and are in the cloud of witnesses? I mean, the best thing is to not ask us, but to ask the Lord, right? I'm just being honest. Like, that's the best thing to do. Yeah.
She's saying that because I was laughing on mute, but yes, I love it. Go ask the Lord.
Yeah. I mean, what I say, I don't know. Ask the Lord. Yeah. Kim's doing a little fancy dance. Anyway, this is our common thing, and it's really important that we do that. My personal experience, I talked about, I don't know, it might have been a couple weeks ago, or it might have been on the last podcast, but I have had experiences where people actually receive, I would say, Holy Spirit, which is the spirit of Yeshua, after they have died and are resurrected. And so when they're resurrected and they ascend, that's what's happened. Has this happened to your family? I have no idea. I'm not going to say yes or no on that, but ask the Lord about it, because obviously they're somehow in heaven. So do I get that? Not fully. I'm not going to pretend like I have all of my theology in a box, because I don't. So
I have a quick question.
Yeah.
So just because you see somebody in the spirit, did you see them in heaven, or did you just see them in the spirit?
I saw them.
You saw them in heaven?
Yeah.
Okay.
So it is different, because there are spirits that have not ascended or anything like that, that are what I would say searching around for what they're supposed to do. In fact, that was something that was brought up a couple weeks ago too, where someone said that doesn't happen, but it does. I know it happens. I've seen it a lot. And so this is something that does happen. It doesn't mean that they're demons, which is what I used to think. I used to think that they were just demons if they weren't in heaven or hell. And now I have like a totally different theology about everything when it comes to that, which is still in the works, I might add. But I know that it's possible to see people who don't have it together in the spirit yet when we see them in this realm. Right? So you said you want to go on to the second question.
Yeah, I'd say so.
Make it happen. Can you repeat the question?
And then yeah, start? I'll repeat it. And then I do have something to say about it. What kind of help do we have in the kingdom of light spiritually? Father, Yeshua, Holy Spirit, seven spirits of God, heavenly creatures, angels, etc. I say yes. but I want to speak just quickly, hopefully, on angels, because when I was teaching my class Beyond Limits, I know I talk a lot about that, but I felt like I had a lot of really great revelation, even in my own walk, whenever I started teaching that. And so I actually do a week where I talk about like angelic help, or, I mean, I can't remember what I call the week, but it's basically what I'm talking about. And I go through Old Testament, I go through New Testament. I just look at all these instances where the Lord sent angels to speak to people, to feed people. What's his name? Daniel, like, passed out and an angel reached out and like picked him up. So it's like you've got angels touching humans and creating fire out of nowhere, and angels making chains fall off of Peter so that Peter can leave prison. You've got angels coming to Joseph, angels coming to Mary, angels tending to Christ in the wilderness. Like, you've got angels all over the stinking place. And so my question with that whole scenario is, if you were to pick up the Bible and you were to read it from front to back, and you shut the Bible, and then I ask you the question, hey, does God use angels to help people? I mean, you couldn't say, no, he doesn't do that. Bull crap. He does it everywhere, all over the place. Even in Revelation, John is taken around the heavenlies by an angel, and he's like escorted into all these places to see all these different things that were happening past, present, and future. So like, there's some engaging some timeline stuff there. But anyways, the answer to that question is yes, God uses angels to help people. And so I don't know where somebody got off saying, well, that doesn't happen now, or it's not the same as it was, or whatever it is. I mean, scripture says, aren't all angels ministering spirits sent to those who are inheriting eternal life? Are people still inheriting eternal life? Yes. So do we have ministering spirits that are sent to help us in this journey? Absolutely. And so I would say, and this has been my issue in the past, well, why haven't I seen them? Or why haven't I seen an angel? Why haven't I heard an angel? Or, you know, whatever. How do I not know this? And it's one of those things that you can walk into a room and somebody's there and you just never acknowledge them. And so I know you guys have way more to talk about engaging the angelic, but from a scriptural standpoint, I don't see anything that would say that we don't have angelic help in this life.
Mm-hmm. I think that's absolutely true. And I would say one of the reasons that we don't see these things is because we're not looking for them. Because I say that from my own personal experience, because there, when I was younger, when I was first a believer, I saw demonic stuff all the time because I was attacked by it. I didn't even know what it was at first. In fact, the first time I was ever attacked by a demonic thing, it freaked me out big time. I thought like I was either crazy or there was a hidden burglar in my house who was beating me up. Like, literally, this is what I thought. And I was so scared. I then was so scared. I was always looking for them. I was constantly worried that this was happening, and they showed up. Because when you look for something, you will find it. And I saw demons for a really, really long time before I ever saw an angelic being. And when I saw that, it was still rare. It was like one time and I'm like blown away. Whoa, I didn't even know I could see this here, you know? And there came a point. It was actually, I think, later on when I started engaging in the heavenly realms, where now I was so focused in heaven, I did not see demonic stuff anymore. And I started seeing angelic stuff all the time because I started meeting angels in heaven. And so I was having these heavenly experiences, but then it started manifesting in the earth. So I would be now all of a sudden I'm seeing angels in the earth instead of seeing demons in the earth. And it's really interesting because that's where my eye was focused. And I was always like, are you here? You know, and then I'm sensing them. And so I start to look for them more. And it's really interesting. We do that with everything. if you are like, well, I know I've heard that we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, but I've never seen anything like that. Well, once you start looking for it, they start showing up and interacting with you. And so it's really about where your intention is. And it's like that with everything. You know, I love that she was asking about the Father, Yeshua, Holy Spirit, seven spirits of God, heavenly creatures, angels. All of this we can interact with. We have given, I mean, it's not only that we can, this is like a huge benefit in the spirit. It's so cool. It's wonderful to interact with these different beings, but we have to have our intention there. The only thing I would really warn about is to not put the intention so much on heavenly beings that you lose focus of the intimacy with Father, because that is the goal. And if you make the goal everyone else, you're going to idolize the goal. You know what I mean? So, and for instance, we have had in the past accusations of worshiping angels, right? Because we talk to angels or whatever. And I talk to Kim all the time, but I am not idolizing her. On the other hand, if she becomes my obsession and I start wanting to talk to her before I ever talk to God, I start going to her before I ever go to the Father. I want to be around her more than I want to be around the Father. Then all of a sudden, she's the idol, and that's who I'm worshiping. And so we do have to be careful with all of that, that we don't focus too much on one area, that it gets us distracted from relationship with Father.
Yeah, I would say even in the Bible, like, anytime you saw a human try and worship an angel, that angel was like, don't worship me, I'm from God. So even if you had an angelic encounter from God and you went to even try and worship this being, they know what to say to you to not worship them. And you could say, hey, I saw this thing and I like started to worship. I don't know what to do. And they were like, no, worship. Don't worship. You know, people are like, if you want to talk about it biblically, you're not going to be able to. Oh, you worship angels. They're not going to let me.
Right. And honestly, in that list of these different things that can help you, it's a very interesting thing. And I want to point out, she said, what kind of help do we have in the kingdom of light spiritually? Father, Yeshua, Holy Spirit, seven spirits of God, heavenly creatures, angels, etc. There's only one of those that should ever be worshiped. And there is a difference between thanking someone, even honoring someone,
yes,
and worshiping them. Yep. So when they become an idol, like Chris was saying, that's when you start worshiping them and you put them in the wrong place. But when you honor someone or something for fulfilling the purpose in which they're fulfilling, that is 100% what you should be doing. There's a culture in heaven and it is honor. So a lot of people would even argue that you should be worshiping Jesus, but that is not true. He's the way, the truth, and life. No one gets to the Father except through him. And he never said that people are supposed to worship him. He's the way we get to the Father. And I think we absolutely honor him for the life he walked out on this earth, for the things he opened up for us, for the sacrifice he made, for revealing the mysteries, for setting us free. There's all of this stuff that we can thank him and honor him and really appreciate him for and recognize in him without making it worship that should be focused on the Father.
Oh, that's so good. Gosh, it's interesting because this is the most common, everybody ready to call me heretic? This is the most common idol worshiping we have, is worshiping Yeshua. Mm-hmm. And in the church, I mean, I did this so much and I had no idea. And so it's interesting you say you know, when you interact with angels, they will tell you, because it's true. When you interact with Yeshua while you're worshiping, he will tell you too. He did that to me. And then I thought, crap, how much have I worshiped him without even actually encountering him? Because he would never have let me. Mm-hmm. And it was a long time of worshiping Jesus without actually encountering him simultaneously. Now, I also had good relationship with him, and I still do. I love him. I honor him. He is my husband. Like, that's real. But I do not worship him anymore, because I was worshiping him one time and he stopped me and he's like, whoa, 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 what are you doing? And I was like, what's wrong? And you're not supposed to worship me. This is the whole reason I did what I did, is so you could go to the Father. We're supposed to worship the Father. And that was huge revelation for me. And it also pretty much smashed my idea of the Trinity. Okay. Because there, I already had seen so many scriptures that made me question the Trinity. Basically what I mean by the Trinity, I am not denying that Yeshua or Holy Spirit exist. They are not God the Father. Now, we can be one with God and not be him, right? We can be one with each other and not be him. I'm not Kim when I'm one with her. I think it's important that we actually point these things out for real. And if you go, wait, that's outside of my religion, then what you need to do is just go back to the Father and ask him. Go to Yeshua and ask him.
Yeah.
Right?
We did an episode on who do we worship, or who should we worship. We talked about this. I think we were still in our building downtown, so at least a year ago almost. But I just looked up a quick scripture, John 4:23-24. But the hour is coming and is now here when true worshipers will worship the Father. Who? The Father. In spirit and truth. For the Father, not Yeshua, the Father is seeking such people to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. So out of the mouth of our Savior, who makes a way to the Father, he says, God's looking for worshipers to worship him. And Jesus would have said, I'm here on earth looking for people to worship me, if that were the case. It's explicit that the worship is directed towards the Father, and the Father's looking for those who will worship him.
Yeah.
So,
you know what I think is really cool about that? And I'm going to open up a whole other can of worms and we don't have to dive into it, but I'm just going to say this. I think it's an interesting thing because we are to worship the Father, who is the whole. When we have talked about our different roles in the body and different roles of creatures in the heavenlies, even of Yeshua and Holy Spirit, who are representations of a part of Father. Like, I 100% believe that I carry characteristics of the Father. If you know him, I hope that you look at me and you see him, because that is what my only goal is, right? Is to represent the part of him that he's given me. And I think this happens throughout the body. But when you worship only a piece, you've still made an idol, right? When what we should be doing is going to the Father as a whole, right? The wholeness of Father, and worshiping him there. It is both revealed and unrevealed. And I think it's so important to remember that, because, and again, we can appreciate and honor those other pieces, but it would be like Jason, who's my husband, always just saying, oh, Kim, your elbow is just amazing, right? Like, it does not do justice to me. And like, appreciating just that part and only focusing on that one part and never acknowledging the whole is just not sufficient. Do you know what I mean?
So good.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, there's your answer, people.
Hopefully that's the answer.
hey, you can get your answers from the source, not the source Wichita, the source Father God. So go ask.
Mm-hmm.
Right on.
Yeah, right we on. Just real quick, we didn't hit too much on like all of the help that we have in the kingdom, but yes, Father and Yeshua and Holy Spirit, seven spirits of God, like heavenly creatures, all of these are yes. And so then I think the question after that would be like, well, how do I access that? And then Christine, you talked about it earlier, just, you know, focusing on it, you know, Father, I focus on you, or Spirit, I spoke, focus on you, Yeshua, focus on you. Like you go and you give time and attention to those things, and, you know, ask the Lord, obviously, if he has anything to show you concerning how those beings are going to help you. And so it really isn't an easy answer. I think it's yes and focus. And I guess maybe some other time we could talk about experiences that we've had in our time of need, how these creatures, beings, entities helped us.
That's good. I do want to add one more thing concerning that. It's not, just don't get disappointed if you ask to see something one time and you don't get to. Okay. Mm-hmm. Because I know for me, when it came to interacting with angels in the heavenlies, I asked a lot before I was introduced to even one angel that was assigned to me. And I had to grow enough in my relationship and intimacy for me to be able to handle that well. Mm-hmm. And I think that we need to be okay with that, to realize, well, if it's not my time, it's not my time, and that's fine, and not be like, well, I'll never see them. So I just want to put that out there, because people get so disappointed sometimes when they don't see what other people see.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Yep.
Awesome.
True. Well, cool. Thanks, Kingdom Builders, for joining us on your bonus episode.
Mm-hmm.
You joined us by participating on the first part, but this part is just for you. So thanks for being with us. Thanks for being Kingdom Builders. We're honored to do this life with you.
Whoop whoop.
All right. Bye, guys.
Bye.